Let's read together Song of Solomon, chapter 2. In this chapter, we have the continuing courtship of Solomon and the Shulamite maiden before their wedding, which will come in chapter 4. Let's begin by reading the first 6 verses. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, with some background notes. In our last talk, we mentioned that under the historical view of the interpretation of the Song of Solomon, there is both the traditional interpretation that there are two main characters in the book, namely Solomon and the Shulamite, as well as what's known as the three-lover or triangular view. Now, what is this triangular view anyway? Well, for the sake of time, I'm reading from an essay I wrote some time ago entitled Catch the Foxes. You can find it on our website, growingchristians.org. Quote, some growing Christians have never even read the Song of Solomon, let alone been able to understand the book. And those Christians who have read and studied the book know that all Bible scholars and commentators are not agreed on exactly how the song should be interpreted. Some say that there are just two lovers in the story, while others say that three lovers are involved. The three-lover or triangular view was first put forward in the late 1700s and is thus relatively recent in church history. In this view, the true love affair is not between King Solomon and the Shulamite maiden, but rather between the young woman and her shepherd boyfriend. The Shulamite, maybe from the area of Shunem in the north of Israel, and the shepherd are just simple country folk who have fallen in love and are planning on marriage. But along comes the villain of the melodrama, King Solomon. When he catches a glimpse of the beautiful maiden, he lusts after her and abducts her for his already large royal harem. But in spite of all his wooing and wealth, Solomon cannot persuade the Shulamite maiden to give in to him. She remains true to her shepherd fiancé and continues to talk and dream only of him. In the meantime, her shepherd lover comes to Jerusalem to see what he can do to get his fiancé released from Solomon's clutches. Finally, Solomon grants the Shulamite woman her freedom. She and her shepherd then travel home to the country together, happily looking forward to their marriage. End of quote. In this three-lover or triangular view of the Song of Solomon, Solomon is still the author of the book, and he essentially tells on himself in the end and acknowledges that he was wrong to try and lure the Shulamite maiden away from her true love. Now, there are a number of pros and cons for each view, but we've chosen to go with a traditional view of two main characters, namely King Solomon and the Shulamite maiden. We've chosen to go along with the traditional view for the following three reasons. Number one, it is a traditional view held by the Jewish people and by Christians down through the years until the rise of higher criticism of the Bible in the 18th century AD. Number two, the triangular view was put forward first by the destructive critics of the Bible in 1771 AD. And number three, in the triangular view, Solomon becomes the bad guy, whereas in the rest of Scripture, Solomon is a type of Christ in his glory. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this second chapter of the Song of Solomon. Doctrinal point number one, love talk is an important part of a love relationship. Love talk is an important part of a love relationship. We see that in love talk, a lot of figurative language is used. The Shulamite maiden is like the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, verses 1 and 2. The Shulamite likens Solomon to an apple tree with shade and sweet fruit, verse 3. We see in verses 4 and 5 that Solomon was not ashamed to publicly show his love for his bride-to-be. So we see in verses 5 and 6 that it is not wrong to be lovesick, in a good sense, and to think about physical love with that special one that God has given you. Verse 7, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. In verse 7 here, it seems that Solomon is wisely counseling that they do what it takes to let their love relationship develop slowly and naturally. Good advice for all love relationships. Let's continue reading verses 8 through 14, where we have more love talk. Here it seems that the Shulamite is thinking to herself about Solomon. Let's read verses 8 and 9. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. Again, we have a lot of figurative language in this love talk, but quite easy to interpret. We see in verses 10 through 14 that love and a beautiful spring day go together, even from God's perspective. Let's read these verses, verses 10 through 14. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Love talk is an important part of a love relationship. Doctrinal point number 2. Catching foxes is an important part of a love relationship. Catching foxes is an important part of a love relationship. Verses 15 through 17, Song of Solomon chapter 2, beginning now with verse 15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bether. Within this love talk, we have this exhortation to catch the foxes. Now, what is this all about, anyway? Is this the Shulamite's brothers that are mentioned in chapter 8 telling their sister to come home and literally go back to the family vineyards and keep the foxes from ruining the vines? No, we don't think so. Again, I'm reading from the devotional I wrote entitled Catch the Foxes. Quote, as little foxes can ruin the vineyards by gnawing at the tender shoots, so the little problems that inevitably show up in a growing love relationship can ruin that relationship. These little foxes must be caught and stopped before they do further damage. Little foxes always seem to come around just when we're getting it all together in our love relationships, when the vineyards are in blossom. Take our love relationship with the Lord, for example. Just when everything seems to be going well, the little fox of neglect shows up. Neglect of daily reading of God's word, or neglect of regular prayer time. And what about our relationship with that particular person of the opposite sex that the Lord has picked out for us? How often the little foxes of cutting words cause needless breakdowns in relationships that could otherwise be so beautiful? And then there are the little foxes of petty jealousies and many misunderstandings that tear down our love for one another relationships. How sad. Without some definite catching action on our part, the little foxes will continue to eat away until they are big foxes. Sly little foxes are not always easy to catch, but the job is not impossible. The problem areas that are bound to come in every growing love relationship are not always easy to catch, but with diligent effort and divine assistance, the task is not insurmountable. End of quote. Catching foxes is an important part of a love relationship. And now what about practical application from Song of Solomon chapter 2? Let God speak through your marriage. Let God speak through your marriage. Once again, I'm reading from the essay entitled Catch the Foxes. Quote, because the Song of Solomon portrays the deep and wonderful love between man and woman, it obviously becomes a beautiful illustration of the love relationship between Christ and his people. God has ordained that the love relationship between man and his bride should reflect the love relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. See Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. What a tremendous testimony for the Lord your marriage will be if you determine from the start that it is going to reflect that wonderful mystery of our Lord's love for us. This will involve a lot of hard work because a lot of little foxes will have to be caught. Don't let the little foxes spoil the message that God wants to convey through your marriage. Let God speak through your marriage. Practical application number two. Remember, God can use your negative past experiences. We know that Solomon departed from the divine ideal by having many wives and concubines. In fact, we know it was all of these love affairs and marriages to foreign women that eventually led to Solomon's downfall. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. From 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. So Solomon's love life was far from what God intended for man. And yet God used Solomon, of all people, to write the Song of Solomon in order to give us the divine perspective of what love and romance and sex between a man and a woman is all about. Now, we believe that Solomon wrote the Song of Solomon before his wives led him astray into idolatry. But still, his multiple wives and concubines in his early years were negative experiences from God's perspective. With that background of negative experience, Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is able to write with authority about what a love relationship between a man and a woman should be and can be, and what God intended it to be. This does not condone Solomon's wrongdoing of having multiple wives and concubines in any way, but God can work together for his good purposes, even our negative experiences. Let me ask you, do you have any negative experiences in your past? Maybe you had a problem with alcohol or substance abuse. Maybe you had negative experiences as to priorities, or use of money, or business ethics, or failure in your family. None of those negative experiences is condoned in any way. But when you get your act together, God can use those negative experiences, not only to make you stronger, but maybe to help others that you counsel. Remember, God can use your negative past experiences.